Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen. The MSS crew would like to once again thank you for joining us here in the Fred Bertelsen Memorial Old Time Radio Room of RadioOutOfThePast.org. The day's date is Saturday, January 17th, 2015, and this is your MSS host, Luis Jr., assisting with bringing to you yet another exciting internet broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. Well, folks, as promised, we are back again, hooking you up with what you love best, and that is some good old-fashioned old-time radio. Allow me to introduce the presenter for tonight's program, and he just so happens to be the director of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. Yep, you guessed it. Miguel Amaro is on deck tonight, folks. You know, me and Dan, we were able to run into the office and pull him out and get him into the studio so he can produce a show. If everyone could just please sit back, relax, grab your favorite drinks and snacks, and enjoy the program. Miguel, the microphone is yours.
Thanks, Luis. Hi, everybody. Would like to welcome you all back to MSS to my first official presentation 2015, though I know we've been on the air for a week now. Hope everybody had a good Happy New Year, a good Christmas, and that you all got what you wanted to get. Of course, the director being who he is, you know that I have to start things off with one of my favorite shows, that being a couple episodes of Dragnet. November 2nd, 1950, The Big Church.
The story you are about to hear is true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Fatima Cigarettes, best of all long cigarettes, brings you Dragnet.
You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned a homicide detail. The life of a young woman is in danger. Anonymous letters and phone calls threaten her with murder. The notes bear the mark of a fanatic. Your job, stop him.
You'll be amazed when you compare Fatima with other long cigarettes.
Buy a pack of Fatimas.
You'll find they now cost the same.
Light a Fatima. Your first puff will tell you...
Oh, that's different.
Yes, what a difference.
In Fatima, the difference is quality. You see, Fatima is the quality king-size cigarette because it contains the finest Turkish and domestic tobaccos, superbly blended. And Fatima is extra mild with a much different, much better flavor and aroma than any other long cigarette. Because of its quality, its extra mildness, its better flavor and aroma, Fatima has more than doubled its smokers coast to coast.
Try comparing Fatima yourself. Fatimas now cost the same as other long cigarettes, but your first puff will tell you...
Ah, that's different.
Yes, in Fatima, the difference is quality. Ask your dealer for Fatima. The quality king-size cigarette. Best of all, long cigarettes. Start enjoying Fatima tomorrow.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case transcribed from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Tuesday, March 8th. It was cold in Los Angeles. We were working the night watch out of homicide. My partner's Ben Romero. The boss is Captain Steed. My name's Friday. We were on the way out from the office, and it was 6:45 p.m. when we got to Greenwich Street. Number 318.
Yes, gentlemen?
Police officer. Like to see Dr. Small, please?
I'm Reverend Small. Won't you come in?
Thank you.
Hey, let me take your hats, officers. I've been waiting for you.
Oh, thanks. My name's Friday. This is my partner, Sergeant Romero.
How do you do? I'm glad to know you.
How do you do, sir? Hope we didn't interrupt your dinner?
Oh, no, no. The organist, Brother Reber, and I were just running over a few hymns for the service tonight. Would you come this way, please, into the parlor?
All right.
I'll as I mentioned on the telephone, I'm not much of a detective, but I think something should be done about this matter as soon as possible.
Well, we'd like to get a few more particulars first, Reverend. When did you first find out about these threatening letters?
Sister Dorothy Wilson. I think I told you about her. She came here to the rectory and showed them to me. She told me she's been getting them for the last 4 days, and phone calls, too.
Mm-hmm. How long have you known this Dorothy Wilson? Is she one of your regular parishioners?
Well, she first joined my congregation about a month ago. She's been in regular attendance at our services ever since.
Is that the church next door, joining the rectory here?
Yes, that's right, Sergeant. Second Reformed Church of the Holy Book. I founded it here about 3 years ago, and I've been pastor ever since.
Have you ever had this trouble before? I mean, threats against the people who join your church?
No, never. Never any trouble at all.
I wonder if you have those notes that Miss Wilson's been receiving, Reverend?
Yes, right here on my desk.
Let me see. Yes, here are the 5 Sister Wilson got. And here are the 2 that I received.
Wonder if I could look at them.
Yes, surely. Here you are.
Thank you.
Oh, would you excuse me for a moment? It's about time for Brother Reber to get over to the church. I'd better tell him.
Certainly, Reverend. Didn't mean to hold you up.
No, not at all. I'll be back in just a moment.
All right, sir.
What do they look like, Joe?
Yeah, let's see. Postmarks here. March 4th, 5th, 7th, 8th. Come from different places around town, according to the postmark. There's Long Beach, a couple from Azusa, Glendale here. No return address on any of them. Yeah. This notebook paper looks like to me this one. Isn't it to you?
Yeah.
And there's this other one here. Looks like some kind of wrapping paper. The writing's not too bad. Let's see. According to the postmark, this is the first one they got, I guess.
Let me see. Dorothy Wilson, you are a sinner and you have led a sinful life. Yet you have the nerve to come into our church and make believe you're a Christian. Spelling sure is bad.
Yeah.
I have been coming to our church for a long time, and it is an outrage to have you praying in our temple. If you don't get out and stay out, I'm going to make sure you're taken care of for good. Look outside.
Sister in the Lord.
Must be some kind of a fanatic. We better run all these through the crime lab.
Yeah. This one, maybe. It's typewritten. Well, here, you read it. It's dated March 6th.
Yeah, take this as a warning. Bring your sinful body to our church again, and your blood will run in the aisles. A life can be taken when God demands it. It could be yours.
Sorry for the interruption, officer. A few things I had to remind Brother Reber of.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen all the letters?
Well, we're just checking them over, Reverend.
That's certainly a terrible thing for our church. I hope we can keep the matter as quiet as possible.
Yes, sir. I noticed the 2 different signatures on these notes. Now, half of them are signed, a sister in the Lord.
Yes.
And the other half are signed, it's Brother D.R. Griswold.
Yes, that's right. The first letter I got was from this Brother Griswold. His are the typewritten ones.
You know anyone in your congregation with that name, Reverend? D.R. Griswold?
No, I checked over my list of regular parishioners twice. If there is such a man, I don't know of him.
Oh, we can run that name through R&I anyway, huh, Ben?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any suspicions at all, Reverend?
What do you mean, Sergeant?
Well, I mean, can you think of anybody in your congregation who might possibly resent this Miss Wilson's joining your church, maybe?
Well, no, I haven't had an opportunity to think it over in that light, but I can't imagine anybody in our group writing letters like this.
What's her background, Reverend? Do you know much about her?
No, she's a quiet girl. She's very religious. Works as a stenographer at an office downtown, helps support her mother.
Will she be at church tonight?
Yes, she's here already, helping to set up the chairs for the service. Why, would you like to talk to her?
Yes, sir, if we could.
All right, let's go over to the church. There's still half an hour before services begin.
All right, fine. I'll have to take these letters along with us, Reverend. We want our handwriting man to check them over.
Yes, by all means. That manila envelope on the desk, you can put them in there if you like.
Thank you. This one here?
Yes.
Okay.
This way, officers.
How many members do you have in your church, Reverend Small?
162 regulars. Another 100 or so on the fringe. They attend only occasionally.
You mentioned that this Miss Wilson's had threatening phone calls, too.
Yes, that's what she told me this afternoon.
Man's voice or a woman?
Well, Sister Wilson said both. The phone calls usually follow each letter. They identify themselves the same way, Brother Griswold and a sister in the Lord.
Have you received any calls from her?
No, I've been half expecting them, but I haven't had any yet. Here, shall we go in?
Please.
Here we are. Our seating arrangement's still temporary. We hope to have pews installed next year.
Uh-huh. Nice church.
Yes. Thank you.
Oh, there's Sister Wilson. She is helping set up the chairs. If you'd like to wait in the choir's dressing room, I'll bring her in there to you.
All right. Thank you, Reverend. Let's go, Ben.
This one, Joe?
Yeah, this is it.
Ought to open a few windows in here. It's musty.
Yeah. What time do you say the services start?
7:30. It's 5 minutes past seven now.
Mm-hmm. Officers?
Yes, sir.
Officers, this is Sister Dorothy Wilson. Sister Wilson, Sergeant Friday.
How do you do, ma'am?
Hello.
And Sergeant Ramirez.
That's Romero.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sergeant Romero, Sister Wilson.
Hello.
Glad to know you.
I guess you want to speak with Sister Wilson alone, do you?
Well, we'd like to have you stay if you would, Reverend. Wonder if there's some place where we could sit down.
Yes, certainly. Right over here in the ante room.
Fine. Yeah, this'll be fine.
Now, Sister Wilson, there's no need to be afraid. These officers are here to help you and to protect you. See that nothing happens.
Yes, Brother Small.
Hold fast in faith to the Lord, and you shall not fear.
Yes, I will. You want me to tell you all about it, Sergeant, how it started?
Well, if you please. Say, is it all right to smoke in here?
Yes, of course. Go ahead.
Can we care for a second?
No, thank you.
No, thanks.
Ma'am?
Not right now.
Okay, I'll leave it back there if you want to. We've already looked over the letters that you received. The Reverend here told us that you got the first one last Friday.
Yes, that's right. I've gotten one each day since then. Phone calls, too.
Did you recognize the voices making the calls?
No, I didn't know them at all. The woman's voice was very rough. Sounded like she might be old.
Mm-hmm.
She said some terrible things about me and Brother Small. She called both of us terrible names. Awful.
The same with the man who calls?
Oh, yes, sometimes he's even worse.
Mm-hmm.
None of the things they say are true, Sergeant. Not one word.
Well, I'd like you to think carefully before you answer this, Miss Wilson. Is there anyone at all that you know in your neighborhood, or here at church, or at your work, who might be doing this? Maybe somebody that you knew a few years ago, some acquaintance?
Or... Ever since it's happened, I've been trying to think of someone. I don't think I've ever met anybody who'd do this kind of thing.
Well, how about a former boyfriend or a girlfriend who might be jealous of you for some reason?
No. I did have quite a few boyfriends, just casual dates, nothing serious. They were always taking me out, dancing and out to parties. We went everywhere, but I was never interested in any of them.
Well, were any of them upset when you stopped going out with them?
A few of them were angry when I wouldn't marry them, but I don't think any of them would write those kind of letters. Do you think the whole thing might be some kind of a joke someone's playing?
It's a pretty grim joke to go this far. Do you live by yourself, Miss Wilson?
No, with my mother, but I don't want her to know anything about this.
Well, I think it'd be wiser if you told her.
No, she mustn't know. Mother's been ill lately, and if she found out, it might upset her an awful lot. She's not well at all.
Help yourself to some of the water there, Jim. Miss Wilson?
Yes, please, I would.
All right.
Thank you.
There you are. Anybody else? Reverend?
Yes, please.
Ben?
Nothing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yourself. How about some of the church members, Miss Wilson? Have any of them been at all unfriendly to you since you started coming here?
No, I don't think so. A few are pretty hard to get to know. They're shy, I guess. But none of them have been uncharitable.
Then you don't think the threats are coming from anyone in the church?
Well, if they are, I don't know who the person is. The way they say all those rotten things about me. They call me a sinner and a bad woman. Well, I guess I'm a sinner, like all of us are, but I'm not a bad woman. I'm going to church because I want to be born again of the light, but I've never killed anyone, and I've never been a bad woman.
Uh-huh.
You believe me, don't you, Reverend?
Yes, of course I do. Now, don't get yourself all upset, Sister Wilson.
You think that's why they want to murder me, because I'm a sinner? You think that's why?
Please, Sister Wilson, try and get your mind off of it.
If they want to kill me because I'm a sinner, then why don't they want to kill all the sinners?
Well, we're going to have a lot of homicides if they try. p.m. Together with Sergeants Raines and Bechtel, we tailed Dorothy Wilson to her home. She parked her car at the rear and went inside. A stakeout was placed on her house. The next morning, we took the threatening letters which the Wilson girl had received and asked Don Meyer in handwriting to check them over. During the next 5 days, we checked thoroughly into the background of Dorothy Wilson. We talked to her relatives, her employers, all her friends, past and present. We had no good reason to suspect any of them. We checked out the people at the church, and they were clear. Both both Reverend Small and the Wilson girl continued to receive more threatening letters. Some of the language and the accusations were pretty foul. Still, no outward attempts were made on the life of the Wilson girl. A week after we started on the case, we tallied up our findings. They seemed to make sense. We talked it over with Raines in the squad room.
Don Myers is checking those letters and a sample of the Wilson girl's handwriting, isn't he? What's he got to say?
The letters written in longhand are signed to Sister and the Lord, and the typewritten letters are signed Brother D.R. Griswold.
Yeah, I know that.
Don says all the letters were written by the same person.
How's he figure?
Well, similarities in phrasing, same mistakes in spelling, typewritten and longhand both.
Mm-hmm.
Signatures on the Griswold letters match the handwriting in the other letters.
No, they were only dealing with one suspect.
And Don Myers seems pretty sure of it, yeah.
Well, how does the Wilson girl's handwriting check out?
He's working on that.
Where does that leave us?
You've been on stakeouts at the Wilson girl's home a few nights. Haven't you noticed anything peculiar about the setup?
How do you mean?
Something that didn't fit? Something that didn't quite jive?
No, I don't think so. Well, just that business about her car. Thought that was a little out of line.
Yeah, it struck us the same way.
Girl always seemed frightened enough about the situation when she's around us, but when she thinks she's alone, it looks to me like she takes it a little differently.
Yeah.
Every night when she drives home, she parks a car in that dark garage. Must be at least 50, 75 yards from her house.
Yeah.
I've never seen her look particularly nervous and taking that long walk to her front door.
I'm sure the normal reaction for a frightened woman would be to park the car right in front of the house and then hurry inside. She hasn't done that once.
How about all those friends of hers you guys checked out? Anything there?
Well, we've been staked out at her house, the church, and her work. You know that. There's not a thing.
Mm.
Checked with some of her ex-boyfriends, too.
Nothing there?
Well, the Wilson girl told us that some of the boys had proposed to her. We couldn't find one who'd admit it. They all said she was a nice girl, but they didn't propose marriage.
Mm-hmm. Those threatening phone calls are another thing. Both the pastor of the church and Dorothy Wilson got letters, but only the girl received a phone call.
Yeah.
Well, logically, if the Reverend got the letters the same time as the girl, he should have been getting phone calls, too. He hasn't received the one.
Well, it could be accidental. Whoever wants to kill the girl might figure the Reverend would recognize his voice.
Well, it's possible, but you remember that story that the Wilson girl gave us about her mother. Remember that? She didn't want her to know about the letters because her mother was sick.
Uh-huh.
Well, we checked with her mother's doctor, and Mrs. Wilson hasn't been sick in 5 years.
Yeah, how about that? What do you figure?
I think the girl's a fake. Everything we knew about the case of Dorothy Wilson, everything we'd learned through questioning and observation, seemed to point to one definite conclusion. Dorothy Wilson, for one reason or another, was writing the threatening letters to herself. As for the warnings that she got over the telephone, we only had her word for it. We took our findings to Captain Steed and laid out the case for him. He directed us to stay on it for a few more days until we could find enough evidence and testimony to prove out our theory. The following day, Dorothy Wilson received a letter more threatening than any of the previous ones. Reverend Small also received a copy of the same letter. Again, Don Meyer's opinion was that they were written by the same person.
Hi.
Raines, what's doing?
I don't know. Boys got any new theories?
What do you mean?
On the Dorothy Wilson case.
Do we need one?
I don't think your old one's going to hold up.
Why? What's the matter?
She's at Georgia Street.
Yeah.
Somebody tried to kill her.
You are listening to Dragnet, authentic stories of your police force in action. Oh, no.
Ah, that's different.
Yes, what a difference. There's a difference you can hear, there's a difference you can see, but the difference in Fatima is quality. Yes, friends, when you compare long cigarettes, you'll find that in Fatima, the difference is quality. Quality of tobaccos, the finest Turkish and domestic varieties, extra mild and superbly blended to give you a much different, much better flavor and aroma than any other long cigarette.
Quality of manufacture. Smooth, plump cigarettes rolled in the finest paper money can buy.
Quality even to the appearance of the bright, clean yellow package. Carefully wrapped and sealed to bring you Fatima's rich, fresh, extra mild flavor.
Fatima's now cost the same as other long cigarettes, but your first puff will tell you...
Ah, that's different.
Yes, in Fatima, the difference is quality. Ask your dealer for Fatima, the quality king-size cigarette. Best of all, long cigarettes. Start enjoying Fatima tomorrow.
So soon as we got the report that Dorothy Wilson had been attacked by an unknown assailant, we drove to Georgia Street Receiving Hospital, where she was being treated. Anderson and Bechtel from Homicide were standing by. We talked to the doctor, who told us that the victim had no serious injuries. She had two slight bruises on her upper arms and a slight bruise on her forehead. She complained of a headache. While the doctor made out his report, we questioned the Wilson girl. She told us that she'd gone to the Church of the Holy Book at 6 o'clock that night after work. She told us that she wanted to pray before the start of the regular service at 8:15 p.m. We asked her exactly when and where the attack occurred.
At about 6:30, I felt a little tired. I told the officers on duty at the church I thought I'd get a little rest before services started, and then I went into the ladies' dressing room and laid down. That's what happened. It was terrible.
Did you see the person who tried to hurt you?
No. I was lying down with my eyes closed, and he must have come up from behind. Put his hands around my throat and started to press tight. It was awful, just awful.
What happened then, Miss Wilson?
Well, I fought as hard as I could. I kicked and scratched him, and I guess I hurt him because he let go of my throat for a minute. After that, he pulled me down on the floor. I remembered that. And then he put his hands around this part of my head, like this.
Mm-hmm. The other officers told us that one of the choir members, Mr. Sherman, found you unconscious in the choir room. Is that right?
Yes. Whoever it was who wanted to kill me, they put a gag in my mouth and blindfolded me, and then tied my wrists together with tape. That's how Mr. Sherman found me.
How long do you figure you were unconscious then?
I don't know. It was about 6:35 when I laid down in the dressing room. Mr. Sherman said he found me there at 20 minutes past 7.
And then you were out about 45 minutes, is that it?
I suppose so. I don't remember anything.
Well, what makes you think the person who attacked you wanted to kill you, Miss Wilson?
That's what they said in the letters, isn't it? They want to kill me for coming to church.
Now, your purse and everything that was in it was scattered all over the dressing room floor. Is that correct?
Yes, it was. My money and everything scattered all over. I guess they wanted to rob me, too.
$52 in cash. Is that what you had with you?
That's right. A $50 bill and some change. I don't know why they didn't take it. Maybe something frightened them off.
It's possible.
The officers found some other articles scattered around the dressing room. A roll of tape, a metal box that the tape came in, and a half a dozen razor blades. Did you notice any of these in the dressing room before you were attacked?
No, none of them. I never saw them before. Those razor blades, officer, what do you think they wanted to do with them?
There's no use thinking about that now. It's all over.
I knew I'd be protected. I felt the spirit. I knew the holy light would protect me.
Yes, ma'am.
Will you find whoever did it, officer?
Well, this is just a hunch, Miss Wilson.
Yes?
I think we already have. Before we left Georgia Street, we talked to the doctor in charge and got a release for the patient. Dorothy Wilson agreed to drive back with us to the office to make out a crime report. On the way, she seemed to lose most of her nervousness. She was relaxed and she talked quite a bit.
Religion's a great comfort to me, Sergeant. I think it's a great comfort to anybody, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Maybe I'm different from most girls, but I get an awful lot out of my church. It's like Brother Small says, you have to be born again of the holy light if you really want to live. Don't you think so?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'd do if it wasn't for my religion. No, I used to have a lot of boyfriends. Of course, I don't care for any of them anymore, but when I was younger, they were always taking me out all the time.
Yes, so?
Yes, I had a good time when I was younger, going out to dinner, dancing, parties. Fellas were taking me out all the time. Of course, that was when I was younger.
You're not much over 25 now, are you, Miss
Wilson?
I'll
be 27 in August. That's pretty old for an unmarried girl, but I'm not worried. You get interested in more important things when you get older, isn't that right?
Oh, yes, that's right.
I remember when I was in junior college, how boy crazy I was. I remember that junior prom I went to. Seems such a long time ago.
Yeah.
I had the most beautiful white dress, Sergeant, with sequins. And the skirt was all white and that gathered in here at the waist and it flared out real full.
Uh-huh.
I went to the dance with one of the big football players. He looked so nice in his blue suit. His name was Stanley.
Uh-huh.
I knew him for a long time. He's one of the fellows who asked me to marry him. I guess I was too particular. I just couldn't see any of them.
Would you mind if I laid out a few facts for you, Miss Wilson?
Well, not at all, Sergeant. Go ahead, please.
Now, I'm not trying to embarrass you in any way, but since we've been on this case, we've checked with just about all the friends that you've had in the past few years, and that includes your boyfriends, of course.
Oh.
None of the fellas that you've mentioned say they've ever proposed marriage to you. Say they've been out with you once or twice, but that's all.
Oh, well, you probably didn't talk to the right fellas. You probably got the names mixed.
No, ma'am, we didn't. We talked to the right people.
Well, I can't understand that.
Neither can we, Miss Wilson.
Well, what difference does it make anyway? I wasn't interested in them. I wouldn't have married them anyway. Going out and dancing parties, that's all they were interested in.
What reason did you have for lying to us?
Parking in a car, necking with girls, trying to take advantage of them. That's all those fellas wanted. some of the silly girls they married.
Well, I don't...
You discover a lot more important things when you get older, Sergeant.
No, I don't think that's the point. Why did you lie to us about it?
I don't know, really. Maybe I didn't have a reason. I just didn't remember right, I guess.
Well, are you sure you remember right about what happened tonight?
What do you mean? It just happened. Of course I'm sure about it. Someone tried to kill me.
Might as well park on Spring Street, Ben. It's pretty clear this time of night.
Yeah, okay.
Sergeant, I wish you'd tell me what you're getting at. What are you thinking?
Well, there's still a few things that we're not too sure of, Miss Wilson. We'd like to clear them up.
But what aren't you too sure of? I told you everything I knew. I was lying down in the dressing room and somebody tried to kill me. I told you all about it.
Well, you told us you were unconscious about 45 minutes, didn't
you? Well, yeah, 40 or 45.
Well, we talked to the doctor at Georgia Street, and from the way you described the attack, it would have been just about impossible for anybody to make you unconscious that long by pressing his hands against your head.
Well, but he hit me on the head, too. You can see the bruise here.
Well, yes, ma'am, I know, but that's very slight. The doctor says that couldn't have done it either. Just a minute, I'll get the door here.
What else aren't you sure of?
Well, your wrists were taped individually. Now, if somebody wanted to restrain you, they probably would have taped them together, wouldn't they?
Well, I don't know what they would have done. All I know is they wanted to kill me. They said so in those letters.
We're not too sure of those letters either, Miss Wilson.
What aren't you sure of?
Where they're coming from and who's sending them? We do know they were all written with the same person.
Well, how do you know that? They're signed by two different people.
Our handwriting man checked them over. He says you're written with the same person.
You might as well have it straight, Miss Wilson.
Look, we're going to talk. Can't we do it inside someplace, please? I'm tired.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah?
I'll see if Lake and Fingerprints is finished with that stuff.
Yeah, I'll bring it along if they are. We'll be in the interrogation room.
Yeah, all right.
This way, Miss Wilson.
A man I know used to be on the police force. Nice fellow. We used to go out all the time together.
Is that so? What's his name?
Well, that's funny. I don't remember. He's an awfully nice fellow, though. We used to go dancing every week.
Mm-hmm. Here we are. Go right in. I started questioning Dorothy Wilson, but she wanted to talk about everything except what concerned the case. Dean Bergman and Leighton Fingerprints had already checked each article that was found at the supposed scene of the crime. The Wilson girls' prints were all over them.
Did you write those threatening letters to yourself, Miss Wilson?
I don't understand. Why do you ask me something like that?
Did you write the letters to yourself?
You know that's not a fair question, Sergeant.
I don't know what you consider fair, but we'd like to know, did you write the letters?
Do you know what it is to pray, Sergeant? I mean, really pray?
What's that got to do with it?
I've been praying all my life. I've been praying hard. Ever since I was a little girl.
We'd like to have your answer our question, Miss Wilson.
I think you'll understand. This is the answer, Sergeant. I can feel the Holy Spirit in my heart. I know you'll understand.
Yes, ma'am.
I've been praying for an awfully long time, Sergeant. When I was a little girl, 6 years old, I was praying. Night and day I said my prayers, but there never seemed to be any answer. I never could understand it because I only prayed for one thing. I didn't think it was too much to ask.
What was that?
I wanted people to know me, Sergeant.
Hmm?
I wanted people to know me and like me, that's all, but it never seemed to happen even when I was a little girl.
Don't think I quite follow you, ma'am.
You've got to understand me. Nobody else does. From the time I was a little girl, 6, nobody ever seemed to care if I was around or not. I always tried to make friends, tried to make people like me. I tried very hard, but nobody seemed to care. Nobody even noticed me. Nobody ever noticed me.
You mean that's why you wrote those threatening letters to yourself, so that you'd be noticed?
I wanted somebody to care about me, that's all. I wanted them to know who I was. Dorothy Wilson. I wanted to walk down the street and have people nod and have them say, that's Dorothy Wilson. There goes Dorothy Wilson. Just for somebody to care, that's all, Sergeant. Just for somebody to care.
Well, then the whole thing's purely your imagination. You wrote the letters to yourself and you pretended somebody attacked you. And all the rest.
God told me to do it, Sergeant. He told me to make myself noticed. To stand up and make people know me. I'm sorry for it now, but it didn't hurt anyone, did it?
Well, ma'am, you had an awful lot of people working for nothing.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was so nice while it lasted. People looking after me, caring about where I went, what happened to me. It's the first time anybody ever really noticed me.
It was that important to you?
People knew who I was. Dorothy Wilson. They all noticed me. I feel better now that it's over. Oh, there's one thing I've got to tell you, Sergeant.
Yes, ma'am.
Remember driving here in the car I told you about that junior prom I went to?
Mm-hmm.
The time I had a beautiful white net dress with a full skirt, the beautiful new white dress.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am, I remember. What about it?
Well, it was really pink organdy, an old dress. I knew you'd find out. That's why I had to tell you.
Yeah.
I didn't want you to think I was a liar.
The story you have just heard was true. Only the names were changed to protect the innocent.
In a moment, the results of the trial. Now, here is our star, Jack Webb.
Thank you. Dragnet's mail this week has included cards from some of you listeners saying that your dealer is out of Fatima's. Thank you. We've done something about that. Now, if any more of you find a dealer fresh out of Fatima's, send me his name and address, and we'll do something about that, too. Write me, Jack Webb, Post Office Box 951, Hollywood. And, Mr. Dealer, don't wait a day. Step up your orders for Fatima. Get in on this ever-increasing demand for the quality long cigarette.
By her own admission, Dorothy Wilsey was guilty of filing a false crime report, a misdemeanor. She was released into the custody of her mother. You have just heard Dragnet, the series of authentic cases transcribed from official files. Technical advice comes from the Office of Chief of Police, W.H. Parker.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That was Dragnet, November 2nd, 1950, The Big Church. Getting into our second Dragnet presentation for the evening, this is April 26th, 1951, The Big Saint.
The story you are about to hear is true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Fatima Cigarettes, best of all long cigarettes, brings you Dragnet.
You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned to auto theft detail. A well-organized ring of car thieves begins operations in your city. It's one of the most puzzling cases you've ever encountered. Your job? Break it. You'll be amazed when you compare Fatima with other long cigarettes.
You'll find they now cost the same. But in Fatima, the difference is quality.
You see, Fatima is the quality king-size cigarette because it contains the finest domestic and Turkish tobaccos superbly blended. And Fatima is extra mild, with a much different, much better flavor and aroma than any other long cigarette.
So compare Fatima yourself. Fatimas now cost the same as other long cigarettes, but your first puff will tell you...
Ah, that's different.
Yes, in Fatima, the difference is quality. Ask your dealer for Fatima, the quality king-size cigarette. Best of all, long cigarettes. Start enjoying Fatima tomorrow.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case transcribed from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Monday, May 11th. It was fair in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch out of auto theft detail. My partner's Ben Romero. The boss is Captain Stilson. My name's Friday. It was 8:35 a.m. when I got to room 40, auto theft division. Captain's office.
Morning, Friday.
Morning.
Hi, Joe.
Ben.
You want to sit down?
Thank you.
I was just telling Romero here and briefing all the men in the bureau on this thing. That's the reason I called you two in.
Yeah.
I got some figures here I want to go over with you.
All right.
As you know, the percentage of all auto theft recoveries is 96 to 98% on the average. That's normally.
Yeah.
And checking the monthly averages the past 4 months, that percentage has dropped to the low 80s.
Quite a drop.
Corner Pocket thinks so, too. They want some action on it.
Well, we've been working on it.
There's absolutely no pattern to the thefts. Time, location, the method. Makes it impossible to stake out on it.
Yeah, those are some of the reasons our percentage is taking such a dive. I know the problems. We all do, but we got to break this thing soon.
Well, it figures we're dealing with a well-organized bunch. They know what they're doing.
I'm cross-checking all the reports. It seems to boil down to this in general. It appears that all the outstanding thefts are GM cars. Cads, Pontiacs, Chevys, Oldsmobiles. All late models, all seem to be in good condition. Low-mileage cars.
Well, in addition to the regular broadcasts and teletypes, we got out a special bulletin on this, didn't we?
That's right. All the thefts were listed, license, make, model, and color.
Mm-hmm.
Been sent to all major cities and border patrol stations. Nothing so far.
I was checking through the salvage reports, salvage by. Do you have the last 2 months' escaper, March and April?
Yeah, right here. I noticed the same thing. That outfit down on San Pedro Street?
Yeah. Let me see. Oh, yeah. This is a composite on the reports for the past 2 months?
That's right.
This one here, Herman Salvage, 2716 West San Pedro. They seem to deal a little heavy on General Motors cars, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I've been watching the buys on this place for the past few weeks now. I wanted to make sure it wasn't coincidence.
Well, looks like a good place to run down anyway.
You two want to check it out?
All right, fine. 2716 West San Pedro.
That's it. Outfit appears to be okay. Never been out of line.
Seems funny they should deal with the top heavy in GM cars, doesn't it?
Right when our recovery percentage takes a dive, yeah.
Do you have the last salvage report there, Captain?
Yeah.
The last one.
Here you are.
Thank you. Yeah. Here's one for Herman's, 1949 Cadillac. A little further down, Herman's again, 47 Olds. Yeah. There's five GM buys on the list. Herman got four out of five of them.
Let's find out why.
From the time an automobile is first manufactured and sold, a constant and complete record is maintained on that automobile. His certificate of ownership, the pink slip in the state of California. His certificate of registration, the white slip. These two slips of paper contain the information necessary for the positive identification of your car. A fact that every motorist knows. Now, there are many agencies that work for the protection and security of your automobile. One of these is the National Auto Theft Bureau, a kind of nationwide clearinghouse. Acting upon information supplied by the various insurance companies and other allied agencies, this bureau forwards all facts and figures concerning the disposition of motor vehicles on a nationwide basis. Reports are made available to all law enforcement agencies. One of the pieces of information put out by the National Auto Theft Bureau is the salvage report, listing all sales and purchases of automobiles that, for one reason or another, may have been relegated to the junkyard or to the salvage company. A fact that many motorists may not know. 9:14 a.m., Ben and I checked through the police commission and found that the owner of Herman Salvage was a Herman Lester. He had been in business at the same location for 6 years and appeared to be a reputable businessman. We drove down to 2716 West San Pedro to check it out. It was an average-looking garage with a connecting salvage yard filled with several hundred smashed-up cars of all makes and models. It was 9:32 a.m. when we walked into the garage.
There's a fellow there in a white shirt.
Yeah, I see him.
Can I help you, gentlemen?
Yes, sir. Police officers. Auto theft detail?
Oh, yes. I don't believe I know you fellas. My name's Lester.
This is Sergeant Friday. My name's Romero.
How do you do?
How are you? Are you the owner here?
Yeah, that's right. Whatever happened to Mac and Donovan? Used to drop in once, twice a month. I haven't seen him for 2-3 weeks now.
Well, they're a little busy on a special assignment.
Oh, I see.
Art, if we look around here?
Oh, you bet. Make yourselves right at home. Anything special?
No, just looking.
Okay.
Notice you've been pretty busy, huh?
Yeah, had a pretty good month. Salvage racket's going to get sour again, looks like, with the Korean War and all the cutbacks.
Doesn't seem to have hit you so far.
Well, no, not so far. Looks like it may tighten up any time.
I noticed from our salvage report you've been doing a big business in GM merchandise.
Yeah, we have. You know, they're starting to build tanks back there now. We wanted to make sure we wouldn't run short on parts.
You get a lot of call for GM parts, do you?
Oh, yeah, we sure do. Everybody in town knows if they need something for a Caddy or a Buick or any of those cars, this is the place to come. We kind of built up a reputation specializing in GM used parts.
I see. Mind if we check your last few buys?
Fine.
You have a 49 Cadillac, 47 Olds, Pontiac 48... 1949 Chevrolet. Wonder if we might see those.
Yes, sir. Right out in the yard. Back this way. All four of them are really bent up. Bad shape. Just breaks your heart to see beautiful merchandise like that all smashed up. I don't know what people are thinking of the way they drive.
Yeah.
You take a new Caddy, one of those new convertibles. Really beautiful merchandise. Somebody takes one out, rolls it, we pick it up and tow it down here. Beautiful car like that all rolled up in a ball.
Georgia Street Receiving Hospital probably picked up the rent.
Yeah, it was really a shame. Well, here we go. There's a caddy.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. The Olds and the Pontiac are in that row there. You see him?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that Chevrolet, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. 1949.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There she is over there. Third car down. Maroon. Yeah.
Maroon one, yeah. Down there.
Yeah. Looks like a graveyard, doesn't it?
Sure does. What'll you do with all these cars? Strip them down for parts?
Well, at least the four you're checking now, yeah. They're all total wrecks. Nothing much can be done with them except for parts.
Mm-hmm. How about that Cadillac down there, the sedan?
Huh?
That one over there, can't you fix that one up? That doesn't look beyond repair from here.
Oh, step around the other side here. You can't see from where you're standing. Here. The right side's all stove in. By the time you figure replacing those side panels and fenders, trim, we couldn't come out on it.
Yeah, I see now. Well, I don't know too much about it, but it'll look good from over there.
Yeah, that's what we get all the time. People want us to pay top prices for stuff we can't get our money out of. If we could repair them, fix them up, and resell them as a complete automobile, there'd be a lot of money in this business.
You do that with some of them, don't you?
Oh, very few of them, I'll tell you. That's what we look for, but we don't always get lucky.
Mm-hmm, I see.
Say, how'd you boys like to see some really beautiful merchandise?
What's that?
Well, come on back in the shop.
All right.
Kind of a hobby of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what keeps us busy. Plates and pink slips on their way up to Sacramento for cancellation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, over this way. Here we are. Take a look at this baby.
Yeah. Hot rod, huh?
No, not exactly. We don't go in for that kid stuff racing around town.
Well, sure, looks like one.
Yeah, but it's a little better than most of the kids can throw together.
What'll it do?
We clocked her up at Muroc at 112 last weekend. You know, they've been coming in here from all over town to see this car.
That's so.
Yeah. You ever get up to Muroc Dry Lake?
No, I never do, but that's the place for it. Running around town on those things can cause a lot of accidents.
Those drag races the kids have, yeah. We don't go in for that stuff. This is strictly scientific as far as I'm concerned. I like to build them up, see what we can make them do.
Cost a lot of money, don't they?
Got $5,400 in this one right now. I'm putting more into it. Mallory ignition, milled heads, twin Wakefields. Here, let me start it up for you.
Okay.
120 horses under there.
Yeah, sounds good.
Listen at that. Beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of power here.
Sure is.
You ought to see it up at the lake. You really go.
Yeah, I'll bet.
This all made up out of salvage cars?
Every bit of it. Have to buy a few things new, but most of it's right out of wrecks like those outside there.
Takes a lot of talent to build up something like this from scrap, doesn't it?
No, not really. After you've been at it as long as I have, it's not too tough. The trick is to get more speed out of them than anyone else can.
Yeah, you did a good job on this car, right?
Oh, if you put your mind to it, you can do a lot with a wrecked car.
Before we left Herman's salvage, we checked all four of the GM cars that were listed on the salvage report. We made a careful check on all of the cars in the yard and in the garage, paying special attention to the few cars that were in the process of being rebuilt by Herman Lester's mechanics. We went over his records, carefully checking the disposition of all of his buys for the past several months. Everything was in perfect order. We found that in the past 3 weeks, Lester had taken in 10 cars. 8 of them had been stripped down for parts, and 2 of them had been rebuilt and resold. The investigation showed that 4 of those cars were GM cars, and the 2 that were resold were both General Motors. 11:28 a.m. Ben and I drove back to the office and asked Mac and Donovan if they'd check through the 2 resale cars to make sure everything was in order, as the reports indicated. We checked through on the remaining 8 cars that were listed by Herman Lester as broken down for parts. According to DMV, all plates and pink slips had been returned to them for cancellation. 11:50 a.m.
Well, that's it, Joe.
Yeah?
8 of the cars check out. 2 of those were GM.
Yeah, well, that leaves just the two that Mac and Donovan are checking, huh?
Oh, I don't know. Everything down there looked all right. It's a cinch Lester wasn't holding back anything, as far as I could tell. It's cooperative, everything in order.
If those two that Mac and Donovan are working on check out.
I got a hunch they will. Seems to me Lester told us everything. Everything we asked him, anyway. I don't think he held back.
If he did, I got an idea who might be able to tell us somebody's been left out in the cold here.
What are you getting at?
Well, now, if Herman's been able to buy up all those GM cars, what have the other salvage dealers been doing about it?
That's a thought.
Let's check his competition. 12:40 p.m. We drove back down to West San Pedro Street. We picked out a group of salvage companies in the immediate neighborhood close to Herman's. 3209 West San Pedro, John's Wrecking Yard. We introduced ourselves and started to talk with the owner, a John Bacon. A routine check was made of his establishment, and as far as we could tell, everything appeared to be okay.
And that's all you made, huh? Just that one buy?
That's it. 1946 Ford. We're dying a slow death.
Business pretty bad, huh?
Never seen it worse. At least as far as we're concerned.
How do you account for that, Mr. Bacon?
Oh, everything, I guess. Business bad all over at the moment. Scrap metal situation's in a state of flux at the present time.
And looking around, Mr. Bacon, we noticed you don't have much in the way of General Motors stuff. Is that because of GM going into war production? Any cutback would eventually affect you fellas, wouldn't it?
No, not at all. Cutback would, sure, but there's no tremendous curtailment right at the present time. They're still turning out a lot of automobiles back there.
Well, then what's your problem?
We're being outbid, right up and down the line by the same outfit.
Who's that, sir?
A company by the name of Herman Salvage, just up the street there. Go out to buy a piece of merchandise, their boys just won't let us get near it.
They pay more than you do, huh?
More than we can, Sergeant. I honestly don't see how they're coming out on some of their deals.
It's that much out of line, huh? It
certainly is. You know, whenever there's anything available, all the salvage companies get their bid in. Well, Herman simply outbids all of us.
Yeah, it makes it kind of rough.
I'm not the only one. Pete Larkin up the street, old man Henry next door, all of us. I don't know what we can do about it. Herman seems to be doing all right, no matter what he pays for his cars.
Mm-hmm.
None of us can figure it out. Just judging from the number of cars he outbids us on and the number he rebuilds, I just can't see how he's coming out.
But he is, huh?
Figure he's laying odds on a big shortage. That's what all of us think.
He's laying in the stockpile. Is that the idea?
Sure. What else could it be?
We continued our check on all salvage dealers, both in the neighborhood of Herman Lester's place and throughout the city. It seemed to be a fact well known to most dealers that Herman was outbidding all of them on any and all GM automobiles. The only possible explanation was that he must be trying to lay in a large stockpile of this particular make of car. 3:35 p.m. We received word from Sergeants Mack and Donovan that they had checked out the two remaining cars listed in Herman's books, the resales. Ben was right. They checked out with no discrepancy. During the next 10 days, the investigation continued. The theft of late model GM cars continued with few recoveries. Suspects were arrested and questioned. We could find no connection that might lead us to an organized ring of car thieves that might be responsible for the lack of GM car recoveries. The salvage report showed no change in Herman's buying technique. Apparently, he was still dealing heavy on the one particular make of car. Thursday, May 25th. We received a teletype from DMV listing all the salvage buy transfers. In making our usual daily check of this teletype, we noticed a 1949 Cadillac, engine number 598-77415. It had been resold from salvage to a used car lot.
That's the place right up the block.
Yeah, I see.
Same cad we saw in Herman Salvage Yard.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? The one in particular that I asked him about, you remember?
Yeah, I remember. You thought it could be fixed up. He said no.
It's only been a little over 2 weeks ago, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, it still doesn't prove anything.
Here we are. Jake's. This is the place.
Yeah, there's a cad in the front line right down there, huh?
Mm-hmm. I don't see anyone around, do you?
No, I don't. Well, I guess it's all right to check the engine number anyway.
Yeah, I'll get the hood release.
Right. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, the engine's had a good steam cleaning. Let's see. 598-77415.
That's it. Herman sure did a nice job on it, didn't he?
Yeah. Almost looks too good, doesn't it?
Yeah, just a minute.
Yeah.
Body serial doesn't match. Doesn't correspond with the engine model.
It's a 49 body. Could be a late 49, but it's a definite switch, isn't it?
It sure is. That's funny.
Yeah. Look at this right side here. This was the bad side, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Does it look like it's been rolled out to you?
No, there's no feathering, no orange peel. Either that's the best repaint job I've ever seen, or it's never been in an accident.
Yeah. I'll take a look underneath.
All right.
Okay. Want to move your feet there?
Yeah, all right. Anything?
No, nothing. There's not a seam or a joint under there. No welding marks of any kind. This car's never been in a smash-up.
The engine number checks, the body doesn't.
And this is the one Herman couldn't fix up.
That's what he said. Maybe he changed his mind.
Or he lied.
You are listening to Dragnet. From beginning to end, Dragnet is the authentic story of your police force in action. Now, from beginning to end, the Fatima story. Actual convincing proof that in Fatima, the difference is quality. Quality of tobaccos. The finest domestic and Turkish varieties, extra mild and superbly blended to give you a much different, much better flavor and aroma. Quality of manufacture. Smooth, round, perfect cigarettes. Rolled in the finest paper money can buy. Manufactured in the newest and most modern of all cigarette factories. Quality, even to the appearance of the bright, clean, golden yellow package. Carefully wrapped and sealed to bring you Fatima's rich, fresh, extra mild flavor. Because of its quality, its extra mildness, its better flavor and aroma, more long cigarette smokers are now insisting on Fatima than ever before. So if you smoke a long cigarette, compare Fatima. You'll find they now cost the same. But your first puff will tell you,
ah, that's different.
Yes, in Fatima, the difference is quality. Insist on Fatima. Start enjoying the quality king-size cigarette. Fatima. Best of all long cigarettes.
...1949 Cadillac, engine number 598-77415. In checking out this automobile, Ben and I had found that the engine number corresponded with the salvage report concerning Herman Lester's place. The one big item that did not jibe was the fact that the engine was now mounted in a different body than when the car left the factory. A fact that had to be accounted for in complete detail. When we had checked this automobile on the 11th of May at Herman's salvage yard, both engine and body numbers corresponded. In taking a close look at the car, it was obvious that the body had not been repaired in any way. It was clear that this particular car had not been in any kind of collision. We went back to the rear of the lot and asked one of the salesmen not to sell the car without informing us. When we got back to the office, we started rechecking all of the auto theft reports. We found 5 stolen Cadillacs, but all the body styles and models were different, with the exception of one, a 1949 Cadillac sedan, reported stolen on May 14th. It was registered in the name of William Brownell. We checked his home and found that he was at work. He was a superintendent for the North American Van Lines. We drove over and picked him up and took him to Jake's used car lot on Vermont Avenue.
This is the car, Mr. Brownell.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just like mine, but I don't think it's the one.
Are you sure?
For one thing, it's a different color. My car was maroon.
You want to step over here, Mr. Brownell?
Sure.
Now, if you'll look very closely here on the door edging and on the jamb,
Right
here, see? This is the one place sometimes they miss with a spray gun if they're going to repaint.
Oh, yeah, there's a faint trace of red under the blue paint there.
Looks like it could be maroon, doesn't it?
Yeah, does it there.
This car's been repainted. It was maroon.
Uh-huh. Well, mine didn't have these kind of seat covers. Let's see. Same kind of upholstery I had, though, underneath here. I don't know.
Mr. Brownell, there must be something other than the color and the upholstery that you'd know your own car by.
Never gave it much thought.
Well, there's usually some little identifying mark of some kind. I know that on my car, the lens on the right headlight got broken, and I had to replace it with one that didn't match.
Something like that, sir?
Let me see. Could I look inside there a minute?
Sure.
Right here under the speedometer, there was a thumbprint pressed in at the factory. It was pretty deep. No, it's not there now.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget that the car's been repainted. It might have been covered up.
No, this was clear down to the metal. Apparently, when they were installing the instruments at the factory, the panel wasn't dry yet. Not there now, and they couldn't have covered it up unless they made a special point of it.
Well, sometimes that's done. Car thieves are kind of clever.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, gentlemen. I don't think this is my car. Don't think I don't wish it was, but it's not.
Can you think of just one other thing, maybe? Just one mark of identification that we need?
No. Even these tires aren't mine. I had white sidewalls.
Could have been switched.
They were pretty new. Wait a minute. I think I remember something. No, there's no rip up there.
What's that, sir?
I just thought of something. The boys down at the office gave me a St. Christopher medal. You know, the large metal kind you're supposed to bolt to your dashboard?
Yes, sir.
I didn't want to put it on, so I carried it around with me in the car. There was a rip up there in the inner lining of the top, but you see, there's no rip in this.
Let me see.
How about it, Ben?
Yeah. Yeah, I can feel it.
Does it feel like a metal?
Let me get my pocket knife on it.
Okay.
What do you think? They replaced the cloth up there?
I don't know.
Yeah, here it is.
Mm-hmm. Is this it, Mr. Brownell?
That's it. Look, on the back there, my name's engraved on it, see?
Yes, sir.
Well, I sure didn't think this was my car. I never would have known it.
That's what the guys figure who stole it. The 1949 Cadillac was taken to the police garage and a complete and thorough check was made. The car, with the exception of the engine, was positively identified as the property of William Brownell. This definitely implicated Herman Lester and showed his salvage operations to be illegitimate. He had obviously been buying one particular make of salvage automobile, outbidding all his competitors to do so. When he would buy a piece of wrecked equipment, an exact duplicate would be stolen to match it. He would then dispose of the engine from the stolen vehicle and replace it with a salvage engine. With this system of operation, Herman Salvage had been enjoying a lucrative business, which accounted for a great percentage of the stolen cars that we hadn't been able to recover. 7:25 p.m., May 25th. We drove out to pick up Herman Lester. His home address was listed as 8625 Wonderland Drive. It was up in the Laurel Canyon District, a heavily wooded section of Los Angeles.
Pretty nice place up in there.
Yeah, but you can see of it through the trees.
Well, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that, Joe.
Yeah.
Looks like a 50 O's. Everything there but the engine. No plates.
Mm-hmm. I didn't notice that from the street, did you?
Never could have seen it from down there.
Mm-hmm. Looks like a garage back up in there, doesn't it?
Perfect spot. Can't see any of this from the street with all those trees. Pretty fancy layout for a home garage. Good size.
Yeah. Somebody's working up in there.
Yeah.
Come on.
Hi there. Brings you fellas right up here.
Want to have a little talk with you.
Oh, you bet. Come on in the house. Have a cold beer, huh?
No, this'll be all right.
Joe, you got a hot sheet?
Yeah. Right here.
Kind of caught me by surprise here, working out in the garage.
Yeah, that figures. These plates are from a stolen car.
You sure?
That's right.
You remember a 49 Cadillac we looked at down at your place a couple of weeks ago?
Not sure. 49 Cad?
That's right. Whatever became of that car?
Oh, now I remember. Yeah, I sold that car to Jake's over in Vermont.
Thought you told us you couldn't fix it up.
I don't remember. You sure you don't mean some other car now?
No, it's the same one. You know the one we mean. How about it?
How about what?
That was a stolen car, Lester, and you know it. That's a stolen car out there in the yard, isn't it?
Watch that hoist, Ben! There he goes, Joe! All right, Lester, hold it! Duck it, duck, Joe!
All right, come on. Drop it, Lester. Drop the hammer.
Go with me.
All right. I'll get
the cuffs, Joe. Oh,
come on, get up on your feet.
All right, come on. On your feet.
Stand still.
Rough one, huh?
Yeah.
Come on, Lester. Let's go.
How'd you find out? Who tipped you off?
St. Christopher.
The story you've just heard was true. Only the names were changed to protect the innocent. On August 15th, trial was held in Superior Court, Department 82, City and County of Los Angeles, State of California. In a moment, the results of that trial. And now, here is our star, Jack Webb.
Thank you. Friends, one of the first things a detective learns is that you can't rely on snap judgments or first appearances. You get all the evidence first, and then you arrive at a decision. And that's just as true when it comes to choosing a king-size cigarette. Place a Fatima alongside any other king-size cigarette. Now, side by side, they'll look identical. When you smoke them, you'll find a world of difference. You'll find, as I have, in Fatima, the difference is quality. Quality that gives you extra mildness, a much better flavor and aroma. If you haven't smoked Fatimas yet, buy a pack tomorrow and see if you don't agree. In Fatima, the difference is quality.
Herman W. Lester was tried and convicted on 3 counts of grand theft auto and 2 counts of grand theft money, all sentences to run consecutively. Grand theft auto was punishable by imprisonment for a term of 1 to 5 years, grand theft money by a term of 1 to 10 years. The suspect was also filed on by federal authorities for violation of the Dyer Act. You have just heard Dragnet, a series of authentic cases from official files. Technical advice comes from the Office of Chief of Police W.H. Parker, Los Angeles Police Department. Fatima Cigarettes, best of all long cigarettes, has brought you Dragnet, portions transcribed from Los Angeles.
Stay tuned for Counter Spy, next over many NBC stations.
That was Dragnet, April 26th, 1951. The Big Saint. Well, gang, this is about going to wrap it up for my presentation here on Michael Saturday Surprise for this Saturday. Let me turn things over to Luis so that he can put the finishing touches on tonight's presentation. Hey, Mr. Announcer Man, come and tell these people how to post complaints, comments, grievances, requests, questions, anything else that may be on their minds.
Okay, Mike, thanks a lot, and great work. You set them up, now it's my turn to knock them down. Okay, folks, that's just about going to do it for this week's broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. Fortunately, I'm going to have to wrap things up and shut things down for this week's program. You know I don't like to do this, but, you know, it has to be done. But don't worry, we will be back again next week. You know where, and you know when. All you need to do is join us. If you have any questions, comments, complaints, or maybe even a request or two, please address them not to me, but to MikeAmeli at earthlink.net. That's MikeAmeli @earthlink.net. We will soon be releasing the key and returning the room to you, the listening audience. Please do with it as you wish. For as long as you wish. But just remember, be nice to one another, or else. On behalf of myself and the rest of the MSS crew, as always, have a great night, a great weekend, and goodbye.